Hello, strangers, and welcome to the August 2nd edition of the Strange Horizons Poetry Podcast. I'm your host, Ciro Faenza, and this week we're bringing you M. Regan's The Hollow. M. Regan has been writing for over a decade, with credits ranging from localization work to short stories for podcast scripts. Their soulful debut novella, 21 Grams, can be found on Amazon and Timberghost Press's website, while they can be found on Twitter and Facebook at M. Regan Fiction. Content advisories for this poem include body transformation, death and dying, snakes, spiders and insects, and supplication. And now, the poem. The Hollow by M. Regan. 1. In the beginning was the Word. Already the Word existed, and the Word was God. With flaps of tongue and clicks of teeth, with spasms of corded sinew timed to pulse beats of his glottis, he turned consonants into calf muscles and vowels into ventricular systems. He thought, therefore man is and is in his image, she is, and she is God. 2. As he once appeared in Eden, she appears in a garden. Autumn mist coalesces as the sun crawls on spider legs, casting its web and light over wooded acres. Paws of dusky paleness cling to towering evergreens, its phantasmagoric softness like that of memories. The eyes are in the house. They are not here. When the morning gains its color, gossamer shrouds grow heavy. The groves fade from pastels to vibrancy like photographs on paper. The haze is transmogrified. A dew of silvery teardrops are left clinging to stems, to verdure, in the way that pearls are threaded with strings. Between curiosity and danger, between her first step and her next, falls her shadow. For this is her kingdom, and she wends the path she forges crowned in an aureole of dawn. Childish faith in immortality inspires her walk, and in the forest deep, she finds gilded leaves dripping pools of smelted, glowing gold. Here we go round the prickly pear, prickly pear, prickly pear. 3. The tree is heavy with jewels, a treasure cloistered in a copse, surrounded by thickets and thorns and threats. It is her first time seeing something forbidden with her own eyes. Don't go round the prickly pear. Don't eat from Father's garden. Apples dangle, glimmering wetly, their flush a perfect match for youthful cheeks. Excitement tickles her empty belly as senses are roused and she is enticed by the tang of sweet rot. Between the yearning and the warnings, between the branches and the roots, falls her shadow. An apple's life is not long, she notes, nearly slipping in puddles of pulp. The crisp air festers further when her boot crushes fruit, half-molded, bursting its flesh as one might an organ. She can taste spongy viscera before plucking her prize, the hope of hollow stomachs. Pulling breakfast from its bough, she thinks of Christmas trees and Christ, of gardens and God, of herself in the mottled sheen of her apple skin, the weary groan of low-hanging limbs, its summons suggestive of grandmother's crooked fingers, of reminders to pray before taking a bite. Between missing teeth and swollen cheeks, between mastication and swallowing, between her epiglottis and her trachea, falls the apple. 4. For thine is, life is, for thine is the... Fruit and knees are bruised in the topple to earth, sticky hands clasped around her throat, a bulge, lodged. It is hell and thermal expansion and a chunk of smothering coal, and her lungs wither, fire spreads, embers winking in her periphery as flames eat at her vision. The picturesque morning curdles, in upon itself, overdeveloped and turning black. Cheerful chirrups, birdsong, harmonize with fruitless heaving. She is, and she is God, and God would cast a girl from Eden, but she cannot cast Eden from her esophagus. Spittle foams in her lips' corners, frothing down her mouth when her serpent tongue betrays her. She crumples like an angel, graceless, non-existent. 5. Between genocide and genesis lie the powers of God. Glassy eyes reflect the sky in hues of stained blue glass, open windows that lead to oblivion. Not here, not here. This is the dead land. But soon there are others to fill the void, squelching and squishing for a chance to peek through fibrous casements, a headpiece filled with maggots and worms at home in her skull. Ants march through the tubes of her bones, rushing like wind. A raven feeds its young on the meat of inner thighs, and fungi sup on juicy deliquesced fat, and a seed possesses her heart as hair becomes weeds, becomes ash, becomes dust in a field. Mortal bodies are not but sentience and dirt, following plots until they become one. When finally found by family, she is alive as the soil that comprises her grave. There is nothing to do but let her grow. Between the sentience and the subliminal, between the parables and the parody. In spring, a sapling sprouts from the urn of her gullet, fertilized by fetid tissue. It becomes hearty and strong. In 6 falls' time, her body bears beautiful fruit. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, her brother wakes hungry. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper. T.S. Eliot, The Hollow Men. And this has been the August 2nd edition of the Strange Horizons Poetry Podcast. We hope you like what you heard. You can leave us a comment on the podcast page. And while you're there, check out the rest of this week's issue, including the first of this week's reviews. And lastly, as a reminder, Strange Horizons is an all-volunteer organization. We depend on the support of our listeners. So when you have a moment, check out the donate link at the top of the page. And until next week, stay safe and stay strange.